Ananda Vrindavan Champu, Chapter 16, Rescuing Nanda Baba from Varuna Loka. The variegated, all-attractive pastimes of Krishna increase the pleasure of those who derive happiness from hearing the expert narrations of the Puranas. Upon hearing Krishna's thrilling exploits, one realizes that all other stories are worthless. Because Krishna is an overflowing reservoir of all good qualities, hearing about his activities gives full satisfaction to the ears. His splendid, all-attractive, transcendental form, gracefully curved from head to toe, is worthy of everyone's respect and worship. Krishna's pastime of lifting Govardhan Hill enchanted the whole universe. The simple wives of the Brajagopas are famous for relishing pastimes with Krishna that are far more intimate than all the pastimes of Lakshmi. On his forehead, Krishna wears brilliant tilak made from kumkuma, and his curly dark blue hair is beautified with magnificent ornaments made from bakula flowers. Krishna defeats thousands of cupids with his sweet beauty, and he brings ever-increasing good fortune to the Brajagopis who are expert in the 64 arts. Krishna protects the world from the disturbance of proud atheists. Shiva and all other devatas glorify him for devastating the demoniac descendants of Aditi. He satisfies the hearts of all observers with the exquisite pearl necklace sitting on his glistening dark blue chest. He is called Nandanandana, beloved son of Brajaraja Nanda. Krishna is also known as Govinda because he lifted Govardhana Dhriti to curb the pride of Indra, and because his beauty is enhanced by his natural gravity, Govardhana Dhriti. The Supreme Lord passed his days enjoying various loving relationships with the inhabitants of Vrindavan. Krishna and his effulgent companions continue to perform their pleasing pastimes of herding the multitudes of cows. One Ekadashi, Nanda Baba, the king of the Gopas, happily observed a fast. The next day on Dwadasi, he had to break the fast at the right moment in order to complete his vow. But due to a short breaking period, he hastily bathed in the Yamuna River at an inappropriate time along with a few pious friends. Even though he had bathed at an inauspicious time, Nanda Maharaj did not consider it offensive since he had acted only to honor the Dwadasi Tithi, the time juncture. Following the rules of scripture, he submerged himself reverently in the Yamuna. But the servants of Varuna angrily arrested Nanda Maharaj and put him in great distress for bathing too early in the morning. Nanda Maharaj had impeccable character, but due to a slight deviation from the rules, he was seized by Varuna Deva, the Lord of the Waters. Unaware of his destination, Nanda felt completely distraught. Standing on the bank of the Yamuna, the friends of Nanda Maharaj panicked with fear and confusion. They shouted, "What has happened? What has happened?" Seeing that they could do nothing to help him, they approached Krishna, who destroys all fear, and spoke anxiously. O Krishna, who rewards the pious, punishes the evil, befriends the distressed, and delivers the bound, please help us, please help us. Something tragic has happened. Some proud persons kidnapped your father, who was worshipable by Lord Brahma while he was bathing in the Yamuna. O mighty armed one, please save Trayam him. Go there and deliver Atra Ayatam him. Only you can save him from this terrible calamity. The coward men ran helplessly hither and thither on the banks of the Yamuna. Hearing their anguished cries, Krishna considered, "This is the irreversible action of the foolish and lowly servants of Varuna." Thinking like this, Krishna submerged in the Yamuna in order to visit the city of Varuna to bless him with his presence. For some reason, Krishna felt attracted to Varuna, even though he had improperly treated his father Nanda Maharaj. The young gopis of Gokula and everyone else stood on the bank of the river. they fell into depression when Krishna left Babaruna's abode. Though the gorgeous Brajagopis did not always see Krishna, because of their intense attachment to him and because they stayed in his village, they felt they lived in the same house as Krishna. Fearing that he had departed for the other world, the gopis lost all strength and collapsed on the ground. At this perilous time, one moment seemed like 1,000 yugas. In this state, the gopis could not hear anything, see anything, or say anything. Their minds went with Krishna and their bodies shook uncontrollably. In a world full of changes, pure love is the only constant. Although withering away due to separation from Krishna, Radhika managed to sustain her life by the power of her Krishna prema. Even though they fanned Radha with lotus and tal leaves and sprinkled her with sandal water, the Priya Sakis could not reduce Radhika's high fever and separation from Krishna. Luckily, her friend named Murcha, unconsciousness, arrived to extinguish the fire. Seeing the filaments of cotton held under her nose moving slightly with her breathing, the Sakis understood that Radha still lived. When a smart Saki said, "Krishna is coming," Radha opened her eyes and returned to external consciousness with great difficulty. Not seeing Krishna, however, Radhika just stared into space. Her eyes looked like a pair of blue lotuses painted on a canvas. Even though Radhika heard her friend saying, "Krishna will be coming in a moment," she thought, "If one moment becomes like one yuga of time, am I to blame for suffering such pains of separation?" Not seeing Krishna before her, Radha felt even more anguished. The hot sparks of fire in her heart shot forth as tears, mixed with her cudgel, and dripped in black streams down her golden lotus face. Krishna, the ocean of mercy, proceeded to the abode of Varuna. Upon seeing him, Varuna humbly and courteously received the Lord. Filled with affection, he worshipped Krishna with argya and other articles. Varuna praised the effulgent Supreme Lord as the reservoir of all exceptional characteristics, the embodiment of all happiness, and the very form of concentrated bliss and knowledge. Varuna Deva said, "O jewel of the womb, Garbha Ratna of Devaki, you shine brilliantly among the devatas headed by Shiva. I offer my respects to you. You descend as an avatara to relieve the earth, Ratna Garbha, of her burden, Bharata Taraka. Your handsome form and qualities defeat the attraction of thousands of cupids. You stand before us as the spotlessly pure and blissful son of Nanda. The dust, Raja, of your lotus feet has removed my covering of passion, Rajas. All the residents of my city have now become purified by your auspicious presence. Today my birth has become successful. Due to possessing fabulous wealth, my knowledge has become covered. Therefore, I could not understand your infallible position as the master of Maya and the controller of all devouring time. O Madhava, O creator of all the universes, you should not keep men like me blinded by your illusory potency. Even the best Muni cannot surpass your Maya. O killer of Agasura, you have all desirable characteristics. Though my servants think themselves very clever, they do not have a drop of intelligence. They have committed a terrible act by bringing your father here. Yet at the same time, they have bestowed a great boon upon me. Indeed, I offended you, who are so rarely attained by anyone in this world. Due to pride, I violated the rules of conduct. By keeping the dust of your lotus feet as the crown jewel on my head, however, I may nullify the poisonous fever caused by my severe offense. O Lord of Lords, your splendid complexion easily conquers the glistening trunk of a young tamal tree. Shiva, the father of Kartikeya, and all the demigods worship you, whose eyes are beautiful lotus petals, who has a splendidly contoured belly, who radiates a dazzling effulgence, whose graceful arms extend to your knees, and who wears a gorgeous forest garland. I worship that super excellent transcendental form." After praising Krishna, Varuna took sweet, fragrant water in his hands and washed the Lord's lotus feet, which are the abode of auspiciousness. This immediately removed all calamities. Varuna said, O Supreme Person, O Subduer of the enemies, please be merciful to me. Please take whatever jewels you want from my kingdom. Actually, everything here belongs to you. What more can I say? I also belong to you. All my pious acts have borne fruit by receiving your darshan. If the desire to see you arises within a person, it will not disappear all of a sudden. Therefore, just to taste the bliss of seeing you, I have safely kept your father here. O ornament of the earth, please forgive my offense. Though the servant may be forgiven, the master should be punished for the offense of his servant. So I deserve severe punishment for this act. Having given up his false pride, Varuna folded hands and stood meekly before the Lord. Krishna compassionately said, O Lord of the waters, I am pleased with your motives and your statements of love for me. Please keep whatever wealth you have. Although I have come from a distant place, because you are my devotee, this is also my residence. After speaking a few immeasurably sweet words, the son of the king of Vrindavan placed his father in front and calmly went home. All directions erupted with an auspicious uproar upon Krishna's return to Vrindavan. The minds of Radhika and the gopis submerged in anxiety and simultaneously floated in liquid currents of nectar. Somehow the gopis quickly revived Radha and everyone filled with boundless happiness. Showing Brahman to the Brajavasis. Nanda Maharaj entered a state of confusion after seeing the immense opulence of Varuna's city, the respect he showed Krishna, and after hearing Varuna's praise of his son. With great animation, Brajananda explained all his experiences to the Brajavasis. Although the coward men felt happy to hear this, they also felt grave. Without a doubt, they thought that this coward boy Krishna must be the Lord of the universe described in the scriptures. During this exchange, they wondered whether Krishna would show them his great unlimited aspect as the effulgent and personal Brahman. Knowing their desires, Krishna decided to bestow his mercy. To make them realize that the personal form of Brahman is more blissful than the impersonal Brahman, Krishna temporarily deprived them of the taste of prema. Krishna wanted to remove any doubts that the Brajavasis had about their future destination. Covering their knowledge with a darkness of illusion, Krishna showed them the brilliant impersonal Brahman. In the Brahman, the gopas could neither taste the bliss of directly fondling Krishna nor experience the lack of bliss by not fondling him. The gopas felt pain on being deprived of their previous realization of Krishna. Out of compassion, Krishna removed their bewilderment and withdrew the Brahman effulgence. Then he revealed the Vaikuntha planets, which are full of auspiciousness, ever-increasing bliss, and free from all anxieties. After binding them up in the witch called liberation, Krishna removed the illusion from his loving devotees. By this, Krishna showed that his devotees do not attain the painful liberation desired by others. As if awakening from a trance, the Brajavasis beheld the pleasing Vaikuntha realm that is situated far beyond the modes of material nature. They considered, is it possible to hear, touch, smell, or perceive anything in Vaikuntha? Although they had experienced merging in the impersonal Brahman and the happiness of Vaikuntha, when they realized they could not see the face of Krishna, whose sweetness surpasses all, they felt a moment without him to be like a thousand yugas. Without the joy of Krishna's association, they felt like miserable wretches without any shelter. In order to dissipate their suffering and renew their happiness, Krishna, the reservoir of rus and cause of all causes, withdrew that vision of Vaikuntha and revealed his sweet personal form in Vrindavan. Seeing Krishna before them, the Brajavasis drowned in waves of pleasure. They realized that Krishna's ever-fresh and enchanting Vrindavan pastimes on earth far surpassed the bliss and wonder of merging in the impersonal Brahman or attaining Vaikuntha. On the other hand, those philosophers whose intelligence is infected with bad logic and arguments have great difficulty understanding the supremacy of Krishna. What to speak of miscreants who can neither search for nor attain the Lord? Simply with a wink, Krishna showed the impersonal Brahman to the residents of Vrindavan. Seeing this as an obstacle to their loving devotion, Krishna immediately withdrew it. Therefore, what is impossible for his Lila Shakti?
Ram, Picham, Ram, Ram.